Turn with me, please, in your Bibles to Colossians chapter 1. If you're using the Bible in the rack in front of you, Colossians chapter 1 is page 1165. Page 1165. The title of this message is The Wonder of Reconciliation. And in your notes, and we make these available so you will have someplace to doodle as you're thinking and putting hopefully the things that are said into words that you might remember or even challenge yourself with. But let me just also just remind you, there are questions on the back, that it really behooves us all to interact with this in terms of being obedient, in terms of really putting the message into practice. Think back to a relationship that you've had. I want you to all think back to a relationship that you've had with someone that went south. You know, it went south. And I'm not talking about, you know, geographically. It became a painful relationship, needed some serious attention. And maybe it got some serious attention and maybe it didn't. I asked the question in your notes. What did you do or what are you doing to add gasoline to this painful relationship, to fuel it? What did you do to try to restore the relationship? What did you do to try to reconcile? What worked in what you were trying to do to reconcile? And what didn't work? How long did you stick with something that didn't work? Or maybe the way you simply handled things, would you just simply refused to relate to that person? Most all of us, I know, have known some painful relationships. We've been hurt, then the question is, where do we go from here? I was deeply moved recently, deeply moved, when somebody shared with me about a broken family relationship. Seriously broken. So serious that there was just no communication. A refusal to communicate. Well, no long process, but let me tell you this. I learned this week that the person that was so deeply hurt made a decision. I'm being consumed by this. I'm getting really unhealthy. And if for no other reason, I need to reconcile with this person. I need to no longer be satisfied with this separation between us. And much like the word reconcile is to communicate, there was a coming together to the point that now these two people, which really should love each other, speak at least once every week. Amen? Amen. Again, probably most of us have known relationships that have been strained. And what a beautiful thing it is to reconcile. God is in the business of reconciliation. Just this paragraph in the notes that you have, it pleases him to initiate our reconciliation to him in the person of his Son, whom he loves, and in whom all his fullness dwells. One more time. God is in the business of reconciliation, and it pleases him to initiate our reconciliation to him in the person of his Son, whom he loves, and in whom all his fullness dwells. Paul weaves together a very, very tight rationale for that reconciliation and its place in a life that pleases him in every way. We've been taking Colossians chapter 1 apart, especially from verses 9 through today, verse 23. I'm going to read these words to you because they mean, I hope that you will, as I read this, you'll see a connection from beginning to end and on into this little letter that is so packed with truth that we need to embrace and put into practice, that we need to embrace and make it part of our own prayers for other people, that we need to embrace and make it part of a prayer for ourselves. It has nothing to do with health and wealth. Well, maybe it does have something to do with health. Just maybe. Yes, probably. Paul writes this to this little church. He tells them how he's praying for them. Verse 9, and actually he's never even been with them at the time of this writing. For this reason, since the day that we heard about you, we have not stopped praying for you. We've not stopped praying. And this is what we've been asking God to fill you with the knowledge of his will through all spiritual wisdom and understanding. And we pray this in order that you may live a life worthy of the Lord and may please him in every way, bearing fruit in every good work and growing in the knowledge of God. Being strengthened. I may pray for the men to be strengthened with all power according to his God's glorious might, so that you may have great endurance and patience, and joyfully giving thanks to the Father who has qualified you to share in the inheritance of the saints in the kingdom of light. For he has rescued us from the dominion of darkness. Rescued us from the dominion of darkness. He's brought us into the kingdom of the Son that he loves, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. He is the image of the invisible God. This Jesus is the image, the hands-on image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation. For by him all things were created, things in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or powers or rulers or authorities, all things were created by him and for him. He is before all things, and in him all things hold together. And he is the head of the body, the church. He is the beginning and the firstborn from among the dead, so that in everything he might have the supremacy, the first place in everything, the preeminence in everything. Verse 19, for God was pleased to have all his fullness dwell in him, and through him to reconcile to himself all things, whether things on earth or things in heaven, by making peace through his blood shed on the cross. Once you were alienated from God and were enemies in your own minds because of your evil behavior, but now he has reconciled you by Christ's physical body through death to present you holy in his sight, without blemish and without accusation. That is, if you continue in your faith, established and firm, not moved from the hope that is held out in the gospel. This is the gospel that you heard and that has been proclaimed to you, to every creature under heaven, and of which I, Paul, have become a servant. Father, may we be filled with a knowledge of your will in all spiritual wisdom and understanding, so that we may live a life worthy of the Lord and please you in every way. I pray this in Jesus' name. So this morning we consider the wonder of a reconciled life. Think of these critically important issues. If we're going to grow and keep growing and keep growing in the knowledge of the will of God? Are you growing? Are you increasing to grow in your knowledge, in your acquaintance with, in your understanding of the will of God? You know, we are somewhere in our relationship to God, somewhere. We are somewhere between the pit and the kingdom of God. At one point in time, many of the people in this room have had a personal encounter with Christ. What do I mean by that? You realized that your relationship with God would not become what it needs to be. You would not become forgiven of your sins. You didn't know what to do. Maybe you were on a self-improvement program to make yourself acceptable to God, and at some point in time, you came to the realization, my self-improvement program is not going to make me right before a holy God. The only thing that'll make me right, the only thing, is what he did for me, what he started on the cross of Christ. Remember, the cross reminds us that God takes sin seriously. He doesn't just wave a magic wand over our flaws, over our sins, where we've missed the mark with people and with him. He doesn't just wave a wand and say, I'm just going to make it go away. Just go away. What he did was he took care of our sin on the cross. And that a relationship with Christ begins, and it moves forward as we put our trust in him and what he did for us. Now, the first point in your notes says this: it pleases God, it pleases him to reveal himself in Christ. Do you believe that? I mean, you ever wonder what would make God happy? What would please him? Well, it pleases him to make himself known, to reveal himself in the person of Christ, and to have people get it. Look at verse 19. For God was pleased to have all his fullness dwell in him, and through him to reconcile himself to all things, to close the gap in our understanding of who he is, to close the gap in our understanding of his will. When was the last time you caught yourself to be a little bit too caught up with yourself that you forgot that God was present? Was it this morning when you were getting ready? Was it yesterday as you tried to get too much done on a Saturday? And you just got so wrapped up with what you wanted to see happen in your life. Maybe you got so wrapped up with relationships that you wanted to be better. You know, maybe you were kind of bummed out that people didn't seem to be appreciating you the way you felt you should be appreciated. When was the last time the distance between you and God was getting a little bit strained? Maybe you found yourself saying, as I heard Dennis say in a recent message, like the couple that were now riding on opposite sides of the car, when in those days you had a bench seat and the young woman would be so close, you couldn't see any difference. And she said to him from over there, what's happened to us? We've drifted apart. He said, well, I didn't move. And, you know, maybe this relationship with God has been just kind of drifting, just drifting. You almost forgot who he is and what his will is for your life. God said, I'm not satisfied with that. And I'm not going to stay satisfied with that. I'm not. It's not going to continue. And so he made himself known by investing himself, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit in the coming of Christ to dwell in a body, a humbled body, going from the realms of heaven with all the angels singing his praises. As Philippians says, Paul says in Philippians chapter 2, he humbled himself and he took on flesh. And all the attributes of God, all the attributes would be compressed in the flesh of Jesus. What is the fullness of God? Look at this. And it, verse 19, for God was pleased to do this, to have all his fullness dwell in him. Look at chapter 2, verse 9. For in Christ, all the fullness of deity lives in bodily form. So what kind of things come to your mind that when people, you know, God had been communicating, he had been communicating to people, according to the book of Hebrews chapter 1, he had been communicating to people over century after century after century, through the prophets and the priests, through holy people, what his will and his ways were all about, what he as God likes and what he wants from his people. He had been communicating this, but in these last days, he's communicated to us through his Son. What would you do if you, I was thinking about this yesterday. Marilyn and I were watching I don't know why we watch these animal programs. We don't have any pets. And then, I don't know, it was, the day was going on and we got a little bit of a late start and somebody came to talk to us about something in our house. And so we were watching a program we hadn't watched before. And it was an animal program. And all of a sudden, we found that according to this program, our hearts needed to go out to a muskrat. What's the operative word in the word muskrat? Rat. Something with a long tail and a pretty thick body. And this muskrat was stuck. It stuck his head into, and they said, muskrats tend to do this, stuck its head into a chain link fence. And some of us are thinking, I can't think of a better way for a muskrat to go. I've had no encounters whatsoever. I wouldn't know a muskrat on the street if I saw one, even after this program. But this muskrat was, this woman owned this, she owns this farm, and I guess this is a regular program on Saturday mornings. Any of you watch the program I'm talking about? Okay, well, look it up. It's on CBS. I'm sure you'll want, after I tell you this illustration, I'm sure you'll want to go there. But so here's this. She takes this muskrat in, and I mean, she's being so gentle. She gets some bolt cutters and cuts the chain link fence, and she frees this thing so gently, and she's whispering, and she's doing this so as not to disturb the muskrat. She doesn't want to traumatize the muskrat anymore. You know, and this muskrat's going to probably be in counseling for the rest of its life. So she eases the muskrat out, and she wraps the muskrat in a towel, like a beach towel, and she's so gentle with it. And she takes it and she puts it into a nice little humane cage. And she takes it home and she takes this muskrat to a young veterinarian who, as you hear their conversation go on, the young veterinarian is just kind of saying, you know, you keep bringing these animals to me. I was trained to work on cats and dogs and now a muskrat. And she, keep your voice down. We don't want to develop some sort of a personality disorder because we're disparaging muskrats. So anyway, This whole thing, she gently, for a week or two, nurtures this muskrat back to health so it can now be released into the wild. Amen? Oh, no, don't say amen, please. But it's this, and honestly and truly, throughout this presentation, she keeps whispering because she doesn't want to communicate any more tension. I don't think that the muskrat got it. Seriously, that muskrat kept on snapping at her. Doesn't appreciate the countless dollars that went into this muskrat being okay. Now, so what's my purpose in all this? I just needed to try to amuse you with a story. It has nothing to do with my message. No, actually it does. Here's the deal. If she really wanted to communicate to that muskrat her passion for it, what's the only way she could do that, if she could do this? Become a muskrat. Talk muskrat-ese, or I don't know, whatever. Learn to communicate the way a muskrat does. Seriously. So here's God. God of the universe. He keeps communicating. And he keeps communicating in amazing words in the original languages and in the New Living. Somebody tell Daniel, I read the New Living Bible. It's one of the Bibles. I think he thinks I don't read that. It's one of many that I would consult. But if God wants to communicate, he'd used wonderful words. I'm so thankful for the Literacy Council that has committed to helping people learn to read. Because God wants us to know him. And he explains himself in his word. But people still struggle. What was his final push that people would know him as he is? Jesus, who is the creator of the ends of the universe, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, compressed himself into human form and began as an infant, as an embryo, and then as a child. And he grew in wisdom and stature and in favor with God and man, so that we would understand. And the disciples who walked with him would see it firsthand. That which was from the beginning, John says, which we have seen with our eyes and we've heard with our ears and we've touched with our hands, him we proclaim to you so that our fellowship will be with him and with each other. And we saw his righteousness. We saw his wisdom. We saw up close and personal his power, even his power with a word, peace, be still. Arise, pick up your mat and walk. We saw his wisdom and his power. We experienced his grace, his kindness, his gentleness or power under control, his own personal self-control in the midst of awful treatment. We saw what God is like because he really wanted to bridge this gap. This, even in that business of dwelling in human flesh, is an act of reconciliation. I want you to know me. So how much better do you know him, do you think, as you focus in on Jesus, as we find him in his biography, that is the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. And as those biographies come to light even more, as the disciples had years to process that relationship and the things that he said, including Paul, who said, I'm the last of the apostles, but an apostle nevertheless. In what ways has Jesus helped you understand and get God's love for you? Verses 21 and 22, God reconciles all things to himself in Christ, Look at verse 21. Once you were alienated from God. Once you were alienated from God. Question number three in your notes. Look at question number three. What's your experience with being reconciled to God? Where does it start question number two. I'm sorry. Paul said, once you were alienated from God. How do those words apply to you? Hey, can I admit something to you? This morning, reflecting on yesterday in my own personal life, I was alienated from God. I was in kind of a personal grumpy mood, just grumpy. Don't ask Marilyn for an endorsement to that statement. But I was in a personally grumpy mood, and it was expectations, it was things I was concerned about, and I was in a mood like that. So once you were alienated from God and were enemies in your minds because of your evil behavior, but now he has reconciled you by Christ's physical body coming and bringing you together with him to present you holy in his sight. And that reconciliation would be expanded beyond simply being able to experience God in the flesh. That reconciliation would be accomplished, as Paul says here, by his death. Physical body and death on the cross. A death on the cross that would allow me and you, if you'll put your trust in him as well, would allow us to stand before God holy and blameless in his sight. And the word blameless was the kind of word that was used to describe an animal sacrifice in the Old Testament that was given for forgiveness of sins. But listen, folks, that word blameless and without blemish described a perfect sacrifice. All those sacrifices, hundreds of years of sacrifices in the holy place that God designated, they were all based upon the ultimate sacrifice that would be given. And that was in the body of Christ and by the blood of Christ, of which we sang today. In what ways have you experienced what it's like to be reconciled to God, so that because you put your trust in Christ, beginning there, what he did in his body would allow you to stand before him blameless. The last point, faith is the evidence of a reconciled life. It's a evidence of an ongoing relationship with God. Faith is the evidence, just like Hebrews 11 would say, our faith in him on an ongoing basis. I had a neat conversation yesterday with somebody. He asked me, do you believe in once saved, always saved? I said, yeah, I really do. I really do. Are you one of those Calvinists? Well, kind of, you know, not 100%, but kind of. But yeah, I believe in a reconciled life, a life that is reconciled to God. But the evidence of a life that is reconciled to God, somebody that has put his or her trust in Christ, is ongoing trust in him, ongoing trust. And whenever God does for you, as he's done for me yesterday and today, reminding me that I was just kind of getting a little too full of myself, even though I was saved, even though I was a person made new in Christ, yesterday I was in a mood, a self-centered mood. And the distance was kind of growing, the present tense distance, not the eternal distance, but the present tense, my present tense relationship to him was kind of growing. And he reminded me through some simple words from God's word that he did this all to bring us back to him. Where do you stand with him today? Where do you stand? On the basis of what? And what does the reconciling work of Christ on the cross, what's it doing to bring you back? Let's pray. Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for reminders that we can trust you. In the moments when we're a little out of sorts, or maybe a lot out of sorts, Father, remind us that this is a work that you begin, that you continue. And I pray, Father, that every person in this room today would know the joy that you take in reconciling us to you. May we really be convinced, Lord, that you take great pleasure in reconciling us, that you take the initiative. You don't even wait for us to take the initiative. You take the initiative to bring us to you in the body and by the cross of Christ. Continue to reconcile us, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen.